Welcome to Metaphysical Soul Speak. I'm your host, Elena Fox Starks. Hey guys, I hope that you had a wonderful Saturday. I'm recording this on March 9th, 2019. My oldest son turned 19 today. He's in California right now. Hopefully, ordering really good food on the gift certificate I just digitally sent him an hour ago. This is my first birthday, or his first birthday, away from home. So I'm missing him quite a bit today, quite a bit. So I went to bed very, very, very late and yet woke up at 9 o'clock in the morning, absolutely so energized, I bolted out of bed. My youngest son, same thing. People, his friends, same thing. Everybody we knew. 9 o'clock in the morning, we were up. Like, wow, really powerful energy. And yet the Schumann resonance was absolutely quiet. Just a little bit of activity yesterday, nothing to report that was big. Today, nothing. Absolutely nothing. But for us light workers, we still had quite a bit of work to do. No less than 6 times was I down and out for the count, absolutely exhausted during the day today and tonight. I guess I've been getting downloads from the universe and taking the light codes into my body, and I've been transmuting, transforming, unraveling, taking it in, accepting the light and the inner energy and the information that I'm being given. And all day I've been just having loads of heat waves coming through my body. And just I'll be normal one moment. The next moment I put my head down and I'm just sound asleep. Fell asleep while watching a movie a couple times a day with my kid. It's been kind of crazy. In the morning when the sun came through my window, I held my hand up to block the sun and I noticed something odd. I want you guys to check this out in your own hands and feet. Do you remember when you were a little kid when you took a flashlight and you held it up to like your friend's ears or fingers, especially when you're really little and your hands are so tiny that the light will shine through your fingers and they turn like a glowing red? But then as you get older and your hands become more substantial, what glows red is just the outer edges. Well, guess what, guys? We're becoming less solid. The sun came through my room and I held my hand up and I was seeing through three out of the 5 fingers. I was seeing through them. Not like glass, but they were all glowing red, and I could make out the veins and the bones. And in some cases, the bones don't appear solid anymore. Our DNA is changing our bodies. Our DNA is waking up. We're reconnecting the strands. We're becoming less dense. I want you to be aware of it. Hold a flashlight up to your hand and try it. Figure it out. see what's going on. Pretty crazy stuff, to be honest. To be quite frank with you, it shocked me. So, of course, I held my feet up in front of the sunlight, the beam of sunlight coming through my window. I had my sun-blocking curtains. They don't do very well anymore against the sun. It's almighty power to shine all the way through. It still manages to light my whole room up. And it's been doing this for a couple months now, which is so weird. I've lived here for 9 months, maybe. Yeah, 9 months I've lived here. And for 9 months, these curtains have blocked the sun. No longer. It's very strong. Very, very strong, guys. So, test it out. Test the water. See if you could see almost all the way through, like your pinky finger and your ring finger and your index finger. That's the ones I noticed. I mean, my hand still feels pretty solid, but I have a feeling there's going to be a day. I don't want to alarm you, but I have a feeling there's going to be a day where you could see right through your arm, because we're going to become less and less dense as the weeks progress, the months progress, the next year or two progresses. As we go up, up, up into the fifth dimension, this is it. This is it. This is the natural progression and evolution of humanity. And this is where we're headed. This is where we're going. 144,000 of us have woken up to this realization. And then after that, 144,000 of us are following in their footsteps. I'm the second wave. I'm in the second wave of 144,000. So, what are your symptoms lately? For me, tinnitus. A lot of sinus stuff, throat stuff, throat chakra issues a little bit. Revisiting some happy childhood memories that I missed and longed for. Things from very, very, very long ago, from when I was a really small baby. You know, like hugs from my dad and hugs from my mom. And they're no longer with me on this plane of existence. And so, of course, I miss that. So things like that, like little tiny memories are bubbling up to the surface. Is this also happening in your life, in your mind? Is this happening for you? Pay attention to this stuff. Pay attention to it. And let it go. Feel the feeling. Honor it. Accept it. Accept it about yourself and then let it go. Because we are going somewhere else now. We're going to a new world and a new life. We're going to heaven on earth. We're going to see brighter colors. We're going to feel better. And we're going to be able to manifest more in our life than ever before. And it's instant manifestation. And hopefully no more tinnitus. So, hey. Anyway, tonight is Saturday. It's a Grandma Marion Jones night. Time to tell another Reverend Marion Jones story. This one is literally about the dark side. My oldest always says, come over to the dark side. We have cookies. Try as he might, he's never going to be a dark person. He is a beautiful and wonderful, lovely human being. And he has been my best friend for tens of thousands of years. if not already all of eternity. I miss him. I miss him so much. But it's all good. He's finding his way as an adult in California, and I'm proud of him. It's really cool. So, I am going to take a little break, and after this next message and teeny tiny couple second music interlude, I will be right back, coffee in hand and ready to discuss the dark side and a story about Reverend Marion Jones. Alright guys, so we're going to get right into the Grandma Marion story for tonight. So, as you recall, in past weeks, I've been talking now about Reverend Marion Jones' time spent under the tutelage of Doriel, the spiritual master and avatar. He's the one who brought the Emerald Tablets of Thoth the Atlantean, of Hermes, to us, to the world. And he started Brotherhood of the White Temple in Colorado, which to my knowledge still exists. I'm not sure, but so one day, while studying, and Marion had been into it for a while. See, I'm trying to ask Marion. Marion, Grandma Marion is with me now. More than 7 months? More than 6 months? 7 months, okay. So, 7 months into studying with Doriel, he called her into his office for a private meeting. And he said, I have something to show you and I want you to take it very seriously. And he handed her something wrapped in an old brown cloth, like a rucksack type of cloth, or like a coffee sack, burlap bag type of old-fashioned cloth. And it was old and dirty and stiff to the touch. And it looked a little alarming when Grandma Marion first saw it. But she unraveled it slowly. And he said, this is a gift for you. She unraveled it slowly and it was a very big book. It was about 5 or 6 inches thick, and appeared to be made of a really strange material, like a very soft form of leather, but it wasn't leather. I hate to have to tell you guys this, but it was in Grandma Marion's opinion, this book was made from human skin. She hoped to God it wasn't. She just didn't like this book at all. And as she opened the pages and she looked through it, there were very ancient writings. Sometimes the ink appeared black, but mostly it appeared to be written in what I can only describe, what she could only describe as dried human blood. This is a very disturbing one, I know. And there were pictures and there were spells. There were There were incantations, and it was all of a dark nature. The book was, to say the least, very, very highly disturbing to Marion. She didn't want anything to do with it. She was very upset. You know, she said, "Doriel, please. Please don't give me this. I don't know where you got this. This is evil. It's nothing but negativity and evil in this book, and I don't like it. I don't want to be in the presence of this book." And he said, "Well, be in its presence. You must, my dear. This is your book from now on." And she's like, "Where did you get it?" And he goes, "That's for me to know. It's not important." And she said, "Well, are you giving this to the other students?" He said, "No. You're different than they are." He said, "For you have truly mastered the white magic in the world, your own power. You have mastered it. But to truly know every bit of power in this world, you need to know the dark side too. I'm not saying to go out and practice evil." And she said, "I'm never going to do that. Never going to practice evil. Never going to practice black magic or the dark arts, ever." He said, "But in order for you to understand it, to understand this world and all the power it contains, in order to move on beyond this world, you're going to need to know all of the information, not just the parts that are happy and gooey," basically. You know, it's not all unicorns, hearts, and rainbows. It's a world of duality. So he said, "You're going to have to know the dark side too." Marion was terrified. I was scared to death of this creepy, weird book. She said, when she described this book to me and told me this story, she told me that the pages had been cut, and she said almost like had been cut like with a knife, and all the pages were jagged. They weren't neat. They weren't neatly cut. They were all jagged around the edges, and every page was different than the other as far as the size and the shape. It was a very, very dark, creepy book, and it was ancient. It was very, very old. And she would open it and she'd look at a couple things and she'd just be like, "Oh," you know. It was about how to summon various demons and how to just do things, you know, bring power and money and material objects and sex and lust and, you know, just. And she just, she said she would take the book and she would learn from it and see what she could learn and see what she could know from it. But she took the book, kept it wrapped up, and threw it in like her closet and just, you know, don't want to touch it, don't want to be near it. But she kept the book and she kept the book, and she had the book in her house when I went to visit her. In fact, every time I went to visit her, the house had that book in it. She contained it. I think she put maybe a spell around it so it would be contained in white light. She asked angels to surround it and God to bless her from it and kept it away from where she slept, lest it, you know, leak its negativity, if there was any, or evilness out onto her. And when she grew older and decided that she better do something about this damn book before she dies, she didn't want anyone stumbling upon it while going through her things after she left this planet, she buried it deep, deep, deep into the ground. in her backyard and then covered it up and planted roses over it so that no one would ever know what really, you know, was under there. She didn't bury it in a casket or in a way in which to preserve this evil book. She felt that the earth would transform it and transmute it and lock away and hide its secrets forever. So she just kind of let it be to the earth. She consecrated it to the earth and asked the earth to just transmute and transform the negative energy from it. She said she worked on into the night. She told me, I worked on into the night. It's just, I needed to get rid of it. She's telling me this right now. She's seen in front of me. Her spirit is here with me. She comes on Saturdays to help me with the stories, with the rest of the story. Because I already knew most of the stories, but not all of the story, you know what I mean? So that's what she told me. She couldn't do any of the magic. She was told not to do the magic, but just to understand it. To truly understand your enemy, you have to get in his head. You know, it's basic art of war 101. You have to understand the enemy. But Doriel wanted to give her a greater, grander, bigger lesson in all this. Is that we all have darkness inside of us, as well as light. And it depends on what we pay attention to. In the Cherokee tradition, there's a tale that is told to people of young age. Inside each of us, there lies two wolves. One is a good wolf, and one is an evil wolf. They are yin and yang, light and dark, good and bad. And throughout your life, you have to determine and decide, which of these wolves are you going to feed? Which of these wolves are you going to starve to death? We all have potential for greatness. And we have all potential for great evil inside of us. Because potential is potential. Told you guys a couple days ago, I started watching the TV show Merlin. It's on Netflix, and I had never seen it before in my life. And before my husband died, he said he'd been watching this show with the kids, and that after he's gone, I should watch it with them, or, you know, watch it on my own, because they'd seen all the episodes. He said, there's a lot of interesting stuff. It's magical, and he said it was interesting. He said it had a lot of interesting messages, but also it had the ability to increase the imagination of my kids. He thought that was important. Always keep them curious about the world, seen and unseen. So I started watching it. Finally, I got around to it. I didn't want to watch it while I just had a phone or like a laptop, because it's such a beautiful show. And I like to watch shows with elaborate costuming and beautiful sets and, you know, just settings that spark and intrigue the imagination. You can only see it on a big screen. So I finally moved to a place with a big screen TV. I'm in a fully furnished apartment here in Ecuador, and so I finally can watch the show, and it's so elaborate and so beautiful. So I'm always thinking about him in these days and his final words to me. Like, literally, I think 2 or 3 days before he died, he actually told me this. So, from his deathbed, he told me, watch this show. It's really good. You'll like it. But the other night, Gaius, I can't say his name, Gaius is his name. He was telling Merlin, the young Merlin, he was saying, magic isn't good or evil. It's just power. And how you choose to use that power is up to you. You can use it in a good or a bad way. In a good or an evil way. You can use it for the betterment of mankind or for your own material gain, you know? So, I wanted to have a little discussion on this tonight. There is a guy who is talking about serving the Dark Lord and whatever on YouTube. And, you know, I watched a couple of his videos and I see he's like so full of ego. But he also has great magic. I could see that in him as well. It's obvious. Super full of himself. Very dramatic person. I mean, to the point where it's kind of laughable and comical. I'm like, what the hell? But at the same time, I see that he has done his work and his homework, you know? And he even noticed that the evil that he thought was all around him really came from within him. You know, we have to face our darker natures, our dark side. We have to study both light and dark. We have to understand the shadowy side of ourselves, our shadow self, our innermost demons, the things that have plagued us that we didn't get rid of or heal, the things that still reside there because we were too afraid to face it. Honey, now's the time to do it. We're cleaning house in a big way. We're leaving the world of duality and the world of the dual nature. Good and evil will no longer exist where we're going. It's only going to be good. It's only going to be the light. We're going up one. But the evil served its purpose. In Star Trek, there's a connection from Spock to the Devil card in the tarot. If you go and look at a Rider-Waite tarot deck, and you see the devil sitting on a throne in the Devil card. And he's seen there and his feet are on a block. And if you look real careful, this is a very interesting card. His boobs, man chest, whatever, chesticle. one of them is round to represent female. And one of them is square to represent male. Because even though the devil's always considered to be male, he's neither male nor female, like all angels. And he's a fallen angel, so he appears as a beast. You know, so he's looks all, you know, beastly and evil and's got his horns and his square boob and his round boob to represent all of humanity. And he has got his griffin-like claws on, he has one of his claws on a block, and on that block there's chains, and it leads to a man and a woman, and they're standing there naked before the devil. Because the devil can see through us just like God can. He's got that power to see what our deepest, darkest, innermost desires are, the dark shadow self of us. And the devil's job is to bring that out. And it's up to us if we want to examine it with the light that Lucifer brings. He is the light bringer. He's shining a giant flashlight on us. And if we see our evil side, it's up to us to act upon it or not. What puts you in hell is when you act upon it. What puts you in heaven is when you accept every part of yourself and you release, relax, and let it go. The devil doesn't want you to perform evil acts. He just punishes you for doing so. And his job is to shine the light on it. Shine the light on it. And if you're going to act on it, to fan the flames so you do act on it. So you can play that part of yourself out and understand. You can't understand what love is until you fall from grace and you fall away from the love and you don't experience love anymore. There was a story about a conqueror who came to a master in India. And he said, "Master, I've traveled a great distance and I want to know the meaning of life. I want to know everything you know, and I want your knowledge and your power, and I want to know what is the difference between heaven and hell. Please, please, I am begging you. Please teach me, Master, please. I know I've done evil, I know I've done bad, I'm not saying I'm a perfect person, but please, Master Teacher, give me your knowledge. I've conquered the land. I want to conquer myself. I want to know the difference between heaven and hell." And the master turned his back on him. And when he turned back around, he struck him with a blow so hard, he knocked this conqueror onto the ground. And as he held his cheek that was throbbing in pain, he started crying and he said, "No, no, please. Please, I've come so far for this knowledge." And he said, "I will never teach you, you worthless piece of scum. You don't deserve it." And the master started to walk away. And he started crying in anguish. And he's writhing around in the ground in anguish, crying and crying. And after a few moments, the master came back and he said, "That's hell. Experiencing a lack of love, a rejection so cruel, that's dark. That's evil. That's what hell is." He said, "If you have a sincere heart and you came all this way, I will accept you and I will love you. And there's nothing to forgive because I see that everyone is just a soul. Beyond this world of duality, we're perfect. So come, my child, let me hold you and embrace you." And he kissed his cheek. And again, the conqueror fell to his knees, but this time in tears of gratitude and love. And he had this overwhelming joy and bliss, and the tears were flowing and the love was flowing. And he said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, Master, thank you. Thank you for giving me what I want. Thank you for not turning your back on me." And the master said, "You see, my child, that is heaven. Heaven is when you accept yourself 100%. When you love yourself 100%. You accept all the parts of yourself and you don't judge yourself for your past deeds. And you accept it. You let it go. You don't let it bother you anymore. That's what I mean by letting it go. It's always going to be in your Akashic records. You're not going to run away from it. We've all been good in past lives. We've all been bad in past lives. We have killed people or performed evil deeds against others. We've done the dark arts, sorcery, and magic in past lives, if that was your path. We've all been guilty of these things in the past. But the true heaven that lies within us and before us and above us in the fifth dimension comes to us only when we are able to let go of it, let go of the judgment of it. Because you see, power is just power. You give it a name, good or bad, you label it evil or good, and then you decide something about yourself and you judge yourself. And what you're doing when you judge yourself is you're doing God's work for him, and that's a sin. Judge not, lest ye be judged. You judge others, you're judging yourself. We're all one. Only God can judge me. Tupac Shakur. That's what he said. Only God can judge me. And that's true. The greater whole of the one creator, the one true will, can judge you. And Grandma Mary knew that. She knew it 100%. And she was telling Doriel, please, she's begging him, please, don't let me read this book. Don't make me. He says, I'm not going to make you do anything. You are. And she said, what if I refuse? He said, well, then you refuse. Eventually, you're going to have to know this stuff, you know. And he was adamant. And she said, well, I don't know. I'll read a little bit of it, but she could only stomach so much. I mean, like literally would turn her insides out. She'd just be like, ugh, and she'd get feeling sick to her stomach. Like she couldn't handle the energy of the book. It was really weird. She said it was more weird than evil. It was just weird. And it was dark weird, like created from a mind that was truly sick. Someone who had lived in the darkness because he only knew hell. Like the story of the Conqueror, that's all he knew was that energy of just being completely rejected by the light. So Spock in Star Trek holds his hands up and he separates his middle finger from his ring finger. And he says to people, live long and prosper. The hidden meaning to this is while the devil in the devil card in the tarot is holding onto the chains that are around the necks of the man and the woman who are naked, the chains are so loose around their necks, it's obvious that they can easily lift them up and take them off and lift the chains of darkness off of themselves and escape hell. There's a couple sayings, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And there's another saying that the doorway to hell is always open. That's true. You could come and go as you please. You could go in and out of that darkness as you please. It's a revolving freaking door. And the devil and the devil card holds up his hand in the live long and prosper symbology. But in the devil card in the Holy Tarot, what it means is all you see is all there is. And in order for us to understand ourselves as God, we had to understand ourselves as not God. To imagine and force ourselves into believing the illusion and the lie and the concept of the matrix that we are not anything but material in the material world. I'm a material girl in a material world. Remember the 80s? The me generation? It was all necessary. All those wars, fighting against ourselves as if God didn't exist, that was necessary. How else are we going to understand peace and love and who we truly are as spiritual beings? As one spiritual being, how could we know it without knowing the opposite of that? And that's what the world of duality, that's what this whole schematic was about. The devil doesn't seem particularly worried that the man and the woman are going to escape, because he knows that if we're in hell, it's because we're keeping ourselves there. And all he's saying is, all you see is all there is. Until you decide it's not. Until you can take the box, live long and prosper. And think about that, live long and prosper. That's what materialists want to do. They want to live long time and they want to make as much money as possible because they believe that that's all they've got. Remember the golden rule. The golden rule, he who has the gold makes the rules. My dad used to have that bumper sticker on his car. He thought it was funny. He laughed about it. But when my dad died, he was a 32nd degree Mason, and he knew the inner workings of the universe. He knew the truth about God. He knew God. He might have been ignorant in the 70s, but when he died in the 2000s, he knew a lot. My dad had a lot of knowledge and a lot of power when he left this world. And he knew the most important thing was the adidom, the inner sanctum, the temple not built with hands that he built for himself. That love, that deep, deep, powerful love that God is the only true thing there is that in existence. The rest of this is just an illusion. It's a schematic. It's a matrix. It's a spiral of time and space and gravity. And we just go up, 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 up the spiral until we come to the end of the Kali Yuga. And that is 12 days from now, 11 days from now. Is literally the end of the Kali Yuga. And if you do not understand your dark nature and accept it and not give in to it, but you accept it and love it and cure it and let it go and move into the lightness of yourself, having had accepted your bad past, for those who haven't woken up, for those who are still evil in the world, they will be doomed according to Paramahansa Yoganandaji's teacher, Swami Sri Yukteswarji. He said, those that do not pass these tests in this time, at the end of the Kali Yuga, they will not go to the golden age of humanity, but they will be plummeted into a further darkness in order to understand it more, because they have not embraced the light yet. 26,000 years from now, those people will have another opportunity to reach the light again. I shudder to think what their world will be like for them. Won't be on this planet. Their souls will be moved, transported to another planet to live out the schematic in a different way, but still the same. Time travels not in a line, but in a spiral, according to Swami Sri Yukteswarji. And it travels up slowly, ever slowly, creeping upward and upward. The spiral is going up. Every day you get a little bit closer to the light. But when these people are plunged down into the depths of the darkest dark, I shudder to think what that world would be like for them. I don't want to know that any longer. I choose the light. Lucifer himself, he embraces the light and he embraces his fate. He's with me now too. Lucifer is the bringer of light and the punisher of souls who embrace the dark. All he did was shine a flashlight on the darkness. It's the humans that brought the evil, the true evil. That's what they chose. He knows he's going to be reabsorbed back into the head of God, not to be dealing with his ego any longer or his personality. He was afraid of it. He's not afraid anymore. He's ready. And as we move into the light and the fifth dimension, he will go. And if there needs to be another devil for the people who stay asleep and still want to explore their darkness, there'll be another devil. There'll be another one to come along when they're ready. But we've already had that experience. We've already gone through that. We've already lived through that, my darlings. We're done. Remember the name, the word devil, when you reverse it, the opposite of devil is lived. Think about it for a minute. Take those letters and reverse it. It means lived. When you understand your dark nature, you have lived. And when you think about it, it's that evil idea, that dark, negative, nasty side of us, that shadow self of us, that helped us to know the light in a much deeper, stronger way, and helped us to connect back with ourself, which is God, the one true will, the divine light of all. Scientists discovered in space that the darkest parts of space contain the most amount of light. It's just so dense that it's hard to see that it is light. Because out of perfection came more perfection, but we're just pretending it's not perfection, you see. There really is no evil in the world. It's just our perception. It's a little lie we've told ourselves so that we could play out the world of duality. And it's been a good run, hasn't it? It's actually been quite fun. I was a pirate in a past life. I had a great deal of fun sacking all the evil men that kept slaves in Panama City. I think I rather enjoyed, you know, that lifestyle. You know, to see justice done, but in a very harsh way. I think I enjoyed that in a past life. You know, it just, I've embraced that part of me. I get it. Made me laugh when I remembered about it. So, the live long and prosper symbol is materialism at its finest. And what it takes out of it is love and God and spirituality isn't a part of that equation. It's just about controlling the human side and controlling the emotions. And that is what Spock represents, which is why he's got pointy eyebrows and pointy ears like the devil. I have a feeling, a sneaking suspicion, that Gene Roddenberry had this deep, powerful, esoteric knowledge. I have a sneaking suspicion he might have been a Mason, or maybe he went to Builders of the Adidom. Because he had this deep, powerful knowledge within him. that all you see is all there is, materialism. It's all about controlling your human side, controlling your emotions, and only going literally for the gold without, and ignoring the gold within. And the gold within is the true alchemy, because when you can transform yourself on a deep heart and soul and spiritual level to embrace all that there is, but see the one will and the divine and connect with your emotions, and then your emotions help you connect to the one will, then our hearts and our souls can fly free. We needed Lucifer to bring the light to us, to shine it in the darkest recesses of our minds and our lives, to point it out. In a way, he is the ultimate Heyoka, because a Heyoka shines a flashlight on the darker natures. Like God said in conversations with God, you know, people who have murdered, what is their crime really? That seems to be the ultimate worst possible sin that you could commit here on earth. But in heaven, all you've really truly done is you sent a soul back to his original home. In a way, you've done him a favor, or you've done her a favor. Yeah. And that's not to say that it's good to kill people. Obviously, it's not. Here on this duality world, we were taught, thou shalt not kill. Why? Why shouldn't we kill people and send them back to heaven? It's not up to us. People come here to learn their lessons, and they have their spiritual stuff they're going through, and you stop them short, you just screw them up and create more karma for yourself. That's why not to do that. And then you carry around the guilt, and then there's all the emotions, and now you created, you know, millions of days more of karma until you shine a light on the darkness and forgive yourself, love yourself, and accept yourself. I mean, I'm sure that the majority of the people listening to my podcast haven't murdered people, but we're going to explore this, actually. We're going to explore this in a few days. I have a friend who did murder people. He is getting out of jail, federal prison, in June. And he's been there for 25 years in prison. First couple years he spent being angry. But the greater part of 23 years, 22 years, he has spent in a timeout that God gave him. That's what he told me. Took him out of a lifestyle he was living as a gangbanger in Los Angeles, that he would have died. Easy. Someone would have killed him. He was not on a good road. 19 years old when he got picked up. I think he was 20 by the time he was sentenced, which makes him 45 years old. He's a grown-ass man now, and he's been in jail for 25 years. No freedom. So he had to seek freedom from within, and he had to forgive himself, and he had to face his demons, and he did. He wrote me a beautiful letter the other day, and I asked permission to read it on the air. It takes 2 days for him to get the letter because the prison warden has to read the letters that I send and decide whether or not he can read my words. And then he's got to send one back to me, and the same thing. So the whole process to send a letter there and back takes 4 days. It takes about 2 days for them to get around to reading everyone's letters. So he's going to go ahead and send me back probably in another day or two, I'll hear. And when I get his permission, he wrote me one of the most beautiful letters I've ever received in my life, filled with love, light, hope, I'm hoping I can read this on the air. I'm hoping he's going to give me permission. I don't know if I'm going to say his name on the air. I'm waiting. That's why I'm waiting. But for many of you listening to this, maybe you do judge people who have murdered people. Maybe you do judge people who are in prison, the quote-unquote lowlifes of society, the dregs. See, the thing is, you could be like, I don't judge. And then you come across a situation where, well, he murdered people. He murdered people's sons. And he also took money for it. He was an assassin for the mafia, I think. I'm not sure. He hasn't told me the whole story. He'll tell me one day. He said it was very bad and very dark, his road. And God plucked him up and he went to jail, where he had to face himself. And now he's a transformed man for real. He's just in there reading spiritual books, that's all. That's all he's been doing, and meditating. Every day he's by himself in his cell, meditating. Can you imagine? What if you had 20 years to do nothing but meditate and work out? No other responsibility, like, you know? So I told him long ago, I don't judge him. I'm just going to choose to love him. I choose to love everyone on the planet. The people who haven't woken up to their light side, I don't have to have dinner with or be friends with, but I love them at a distance. Try loving everyone on the planet without judgment. It's hard. But it's one of the last lessons we as humanity, as a group, we have to learn. It's pretty cool, though. This has been a super fun ride, man. 26,000 years in this age, in this Kali Yuga. Kali is the goddess of war. It's been super interesting. Scary at times. Now we're ready to embrace only the light and go up to a world in which duality is not. Just is not. How are you? Are you ready? Have you faced your demons and the dark side? It's funny because today this comes on the heels of some knowledge of a friend of mine being attacked for years in her house by a demon who lives with her and is constantly pressing her and needling her, that someone who was evil sent the demon into her house and she's know how to get rid of it. And it keeps coming back for years. And my other friend has been doing battle with this demon from a distance and woke up this morning covered, like her arms all bruised and in a lot of pain. It was funny that that happened today on the day that I decided to do this. Well, God told me to do this one today. I follow only my one will. I mean, I serve God. I'm here to serve the God in you with my podcast. You know. But I do have my girlfriend from Canada will be with me probably either tomorrow or Monday. I'm not sure yet. It just depends on what my higher guidance tells me. But we're going to be talking with her about doppelgangers. You're going to want to stick around for that one. I've also decided to do a show about bilocation. The power to basically split yourself into two people and show up in two places at once. Got to do some research. There's some stories on this and they're strange. But because this happened to me a couple times, I'm going to tell you those stories. They're very weird. And maybe this is one of the powers we're going to get as we go to the fifth dimension. What do you think? That'd be pretty weird, right? Be two places at once? Never again have to say no to one commitment because you have another one. Be at both parties. It's not about that, really, but I mean, it's a weird and intriguing idea. I got some good shows coming up. Matthew David Hurtado's coming up. We're still working on the details of that. I've just been too busy to kind of get back to him on what we're going to talk about. I don't know if he's listening to this, but if you are, Matthew David, you are in my mind always, and I'm thinking about where we're going to go. I'm going to be doing a book review coming up on the book The Ascension Perspective. When I'm done reading it, that might be in a month. The book is very deep and hard for me to understand and absorb the information, so I have to keep reading it again and again. Thank you, adult onset ADHD and dyslexia. But hey, if you are dyslexic, hey, Listexic Sun Tie. That's our warrior cry. Only dyslexics will understand that. I'm just kidding. You know, instead of dyslexics unite, woohoo, Listexic Sun Tie. Alright. Alright, guys, I love you all. With my heart wide open. I love you all, and I'm here to help you and just give you the knowledge and the crazy stories that I've got that will help you learn whatever it is you need to learn. So it's time for me to maybe finish my last bit of coffee and watch an episode of Merlin, then go to bed and dream about the fifth dimension. So happy birthday to my beautiful son if you're listening to this episode, now or in the future. I'm grateful I got to be a mother this time. I haven't really been a parent much in all of my lifetimes. Hardly at all. I think maybe once. I don't think I have been a parent much at all. So it's been really great this time. It's one of my last things that I had to do as a human to understand. But all that's for another day to talk about. So now I am signing off with peace and joy and love and the light and the high vibes of the holy fifth dimension. Until next time. Metaphysical Soul Speak is run on sponsors and listener support. This means listeners like you. If you are so inclined to support my efforts and my little podcast, please visit me at anchor.fm/metaphysical and pledge an amount of your choosing today. Thank you.